Hi everyone, my name is Miss Suede. I'm a fourth grade teacher, and today I'm going to be reading chapters 15, 16, and 17 of Wish Tree by Katherine Applegate. Chapter 15. When you're the neighborhood wish tree, people talk. It didn't take long for folks to learn about the ugly word carved into my trunk. People stopped to stare. They gathered in little groups, they grimaced and shook their heads and murmured. By lunchtime, the police had arrived. I am not, as it happens, a stranger to law enforcement. A pair of kittens reside across the street. They love climbing up my trunk to my uppermost branches. Unfortunately, they don't love climbing back down. In the last 2 months, Lewis and Clark have been rescued twice by the fire department and 3 times by the police. Sandy and Max, the same police officers who'd rescued the kittens just last week, climbed out of their patrol car to check me out. They frowned. They searched the lawn for clues. They talked to passersby and took photos.
Bongo, I whispered. I'm an official crime scene.
She was not amused. The owner of the houses, and therefore technically of me, was the one who'd called the police. Francesca, tall and thin with short dove gray hair, lived across the street. The blue and green houses had belonged to her family for generations. Francesca was also the owner of Lewis and Clark, my intrepid visitors. With a grim look on her face, Francesca strode across the street to talk to the police. Lewis and Clark squirmed in her arms. That tree, Francesca said to Sandy, who was taking notes on a little pad. It's been nothing but trouble for as long as I can remember. Francesca has never been the sentimental sort. She likes cats more than trees. To each her own, I happen to like trees more than cats. Oh, but people love the wish tree, said Sandy. She looked me up and down, although I imagine it's a lot of work for you. Every year, the day after wishing day, I swear I'm going to cut that thing down, Francesca said. It was true, but I knew Francesca didn't mean it. She and I went way back. The cleanup isn't the worst of it, Francesca continued. The things people wish for, the craziness. Last year, someone wrote, I wish for chocolate spaghetti and permanent marker on a pair of underwear. Tossed it way up high. Chocolate spaghetti, Sandy said. I could get behind that. Craziness, I tell you. Francesca stared at me. It's just a tree, after all. Just a tree. Just a tree seemed a tad unfair, but Francesca looked tired and angry, so I tried not to take it personally. Sandy closed her notebook. People believe what they want to believe about trees. She stared at the newly carved wood. About people, too. What now? Francesca asked. Dunno, Sandy said. The tree belongs to you, not to the new family, and you've been here forever. Francesca smiled sadly. Suppose it could be me they're hoping will leave. They watched Max place a circle of yellow crime tape near my trunk using metal stakes. Don't think so, Francesca, Sandy said. Max joined them. He stroked the kittens, who purred loudly. One problem, in terms of prosecuting anyone, he said, is the history of this tree. It's almost May when people leave their wishes or whatever. Hard to say for sure this isn't part of the whole, you know, tradition thing, he shrugged. That's assuming we figure out who did this, mind you. People are supposed to make their wishes on a rag or piece of paper, not carve it into the trunk, Francesca said. That's why, back in Ireland, they called these raggy trees. Nowadays, a lot of people just tie a tag around a branch and write their nutty wishes, she shrugged. In any case, leave is not a wish. It's a threat. It certainly is, Max agreed. Francesca nodded at the cracked and buckled walkways leading to both houses. Tell you one thing, wish tree or not, this oak is destroying the walkways. Messing with the plumbing, too. Roots go on forever. She shook her head. Maybe it really is time to cut it down. No more leaves to rake. No more wishing day mess. No more of this unkindness. Lewis leapt from Francesca's grasp and dashed for my trunk. Sandy tackled him just in time. We'll finish up our investigation in a day or two. Be out of your hair, Max said. Then you'll be free to do whatever you want with the tree. You know, Francesca said, taking Lewis from Sandy, my father almost cut this tree down years ago. My mother wasn't having it. Family lore or some such thing. Soft-hearted nonsense, she sighed. Guess it's up to me. Meantime, you keep us posted if anything else happens, Sandy advised. Francesca headed across the lawn, holding the kittens close. Leave, she murmured. What a world. What a world we live in. Chapter 16. When you're a tree, a phrase like, cut it down, is bound to get your attention. Francesca had hinted at such things before, but always in jest, after a long October afternoon raking my newly shed leaves into crisp hills, or after a particularly messy wishing day, or after stepping on my acorns in bare feet. I felt bad about the walkways. It's an occupational hazard. To stay alive, I need a vast network of roots, and roots can be surprisingly strong. Did you hear that? Bongo asked, watching Francesca enter her house. She sounded serious this time. I've heard it all before, I said. Unfortunately, the newbies heard her too, Bongo said. Bongo calls every fresh crop of babies newbies. She pretends to be annoyed by their antics, but I know better. Listen, Bongo urged. Sure enough, I could hear the baby skunks wailing from their hidden nest under the porch. But we love red, Mama, one of them cried. Hush, their mother, fresh brick bread, scolded. It's the middle of the day. You're supposed to be asleep. You're crepuscular. Crepuscular creatures like fireflies, bats, and deer are especially active at dusk and dawn. Will Red be all right, Mama? Another baby, whose voice I recognized as Rose Petal, asked. All skunks name themselves after pleasant scents. I am not sure if this is because they're a bit defensive about their reputation or if they just have a sly sense of humor. Of course, said her mother, Red is indestructible. Bongo looked at me. See what I mean? Oh, dear, I said. By tonight, they'll all have heard. The possums, the raccoons, the owls. Little Harold will be beside himself. Harold was the smallest barn owl, nestling in a great worrier. Barn owls give themselves sensible, no-fuss names. I'll talk to everyone, Bongo said. Calm them down. Tell them not to worry. I'm sure things will be fine, I said. I've seen a lot in my years. The things I've fretted about that have never come to pass. I could write a book. I paused. In fact, I could be a book. I paused again. Because, you know, paper is made of trees. Bongo gave a screechy crow laugh. She didn't even scold me for my lame joke. That's when I started to worry. Chapter 17. As much as I was concerned about the baby's reaction to Francesca's words, I was more worried about Samar. What would happen when she returned from school and saw the word carved into me? Would she think it was meant for her and for her family, as Francesca and the police seemed to assume? She came home alone. Ahead of her by a few yards was Stephen. A reporter from the neighborhood newspaper was waiting on the sidewalk, interviewing people as they walked by. Word travels fast in our parts, especially when there's yellow police tape involved. Had they seen what had happened? The reporter kept asking. Had they ever made wishes on wishing day? What did they think the word leave meant? The reporter approached Stephen. Did he know why someone would carve leave into the beloved local wish tree? Stephen stared at the reporter. Then he glanced behind at Samar, sending her the shadow of a sad smile. Without answering the reporter, he headed toward his house. Samar's eyes darted from Stephen to the reporter to me. She ran closer, saw the word, and gasped. She reached a hand toward me, but the police tape put me out of reach. Are you a resident? The reporter asked. Would you like to comment on the incident? Samar didn't say a word.
She turned and walked up the sagging steps to her little blue house, her head held high, standing tall, reaching deep.